إن الحمد لله نحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And inshallah today, which is Tuesday, this the 7th of Rajab for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 27th of October 1998. And today here, inshallah, from Masjid al-Muslimin in Columbia, South Carolina, we continue our series concerning the explanation of the book, Bulugh al-Maram. And this class is the class number 31, or the 33rd. And today, inshallah, we have a new chapter. And we're dealing with the book of the funeral. And for those who have the book Bulugh al-Maram or the attainment of the objective that we are in page number 186 and this is called Kitab al-Janaiz. Kitab al-Janaiz, the book of the Janaza. And al-Janaza, Al-Janaiz is a plural term, and the single of Janaiz is Janaza. The Janaza is the single word for Janaiz. And the Janaza, it can refer to the dead person, or it can be used for the bed that you bought the dead person on it to carry to the grave. Or also the janaza, it can be meant by it, the dead person with the bed itself or the carrier, the stretcher that he carries. So the word janaza, it can refer to all this. And inshallah in this chapter, chapter number 3, we have approximately about 62 hadith. We're going to try to stick to what is in the book of Bulugh al-Maram, because if we start to go in detail, actually the subject is huge and bigger than what's in this book. So we try, inshallah, to stick with the hadith that in the book, give some explanation on it, and also show the authenticity of the hadith. And the first hadith that we have in our chapter today is numbered according to the book with the number 425. Hadith number 425. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أثروا ذكرى هادم اللذات الموت. This hadith which is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, رضي الله عنه, is telling us that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is commanding us to mention Allah and to remember Allah and to talk Allah and to discuss Allah hazim al-lazzat, which he described it or he named it after its description to be al-mawt, the death. Remember Allah hazim al-lazzat. Hazim is the thing that you cut something with it, or the thing which you steal something with it, or that you stop something with it. Okay? And the lazzat is a plural for lazza, which is a pleasure, entertainment. And as we understand, in this life there is a lot of entertainment and a lot of appetite and a lot of enjoyment. Food, drink, sex, rides, houses, name it. Sports in different fashions, hunting, riding horse, all these things is a type of enjoyment. Regardless if you're talking about halal or haram enjoyment. But when this death comes, it will stop all these things, will steal it, will put the end for this enjoyment. You're enjoying your health, you enjoy your property, you enjoy your horses, your trees and fruits, families. So when this death comes to visit, it's better into all the things. Okay? The wise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to talk Allah and to remember Allah al-mawt, the death. And he described it with this kind of description. Because the more you remember this, the more that you work for the Akhirah. The more that you remember this, the more that your behavior and your discipline will be better. Because you know that whatever that you aim from pleasure is nothing except temporary. And when you start to think about what's going to happen to this strong body, what's going to happen to this eye, worms going inside this eye, and dust and dirt will be on top of this body, and all this nice tooth and all this soap and all these things, somebody else. So now, when you come to think about these things, it will shape your life. Okay? It will put a monitor on what you're doing and what you're seeing. Okay? This is a cure and this is a medicine being given to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we shouldn't neglect it. Our problem that we involve too much in this life. That we are distant from the hereafter. That we're working a lot for this life and we work little for the hereafter. And we are not going to start think and build for the hereafter until we remember when this all the things come to an end. And what it takes the things to come to end is the death. Okay? So the cure for our illness, the encouragement for us to do more good deeds, the thing that will seize all the foolishness and the bad things is to remember this. And you see what the Prophet ﷺ said, what? Akthiru. Mention it a lot. Okay? Not when somebody dies, this is the only time we think about this. Okay? When you have a janazah workshop, this is the time you think about this. No.
is not going, this medicine is not going to work properly in you until you have it a lot in your mind. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this admonishment and this hadith inshallah drill in our mind and in our heart. Because the moment that we start to act upon this hadith, our life will change and will be improved a lot. The hadith reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember Allah, the cutter of the life, death. This hadith is the collection of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, Wa-Nisa'i, and Ibn Hibban, and the hadith is authentic. Second hadith, hadith number 426, وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت لضر نزل به فإن كان لابد متمنيا فليقل اللهم أحيني ما كانت الحياة خيرا لي وتوفني ما كانت الوفاة خيرا لي. This hadith is teaching us the proper way of dealing with this life. And as a human being, we get weak, sometimes if it's not most of the time. And we get so discouraged when problems and hardships fall in us. And as a result of us, as a result of this, that some of us will wish for death. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us the proper way when you have this hardship and difficulty and problem, instead of wishing for death, that you will call in Allah and that you will ask Allah to keep you alive as long life is good for you. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will end your life as long death is bitter for you. Because you don't know which one is better for you. Yes, it is maybe hardship and difficulty, but this hardship and difficulty is going to shape you. It's going to bring you back to Allah. It's going to make you come down to the masjid. You see? And this also, for you to wish for death, you wishing for the death which comes and end all your production. Okay? Because when you die, you could not get salah anymore. You could not get zakah anymore. But as long as alive, you are alive, there is opportunity for you to make salah, to give zakah, to do something good. So a Muslim looking for this life, looking towards this life to be a seed to plant. And the more that you plant, the more you're getting fruit and getting results. So how you can stop planting if you wish for this? Okay? So the proper way, if you think that life became so difficult, and tight, and you could not deal with it anymore, you don't wait for day. But what you do, that you call in Allah, and what do you say? Allahumma ahyini ma kanat al-hayatu khayra li wa tawaffani ma kanat al-wafatu khayra li. Okay? And the hadith is in the collection of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic. Hadith number 427. وعن بريدة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال المؤمن يموت بعرق الجبين. رواه الثلاثة وصححه ابن حبان. This hadith, which is reported by Braida, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, wa Nisa'i, wa Ibn Majah, wa Ibn Hibban, and the hadith is authentic, that the believer dies with twist on the jaw, brow. Like you say, eyebrow, so this, the forehead. There is explanation for this hadith that some of the scholars say that the believer dies with the fruit of the brow. That means he's always sweating. And when you work, working hard to earn a dollar, halal dollar, basically, this is the first area that fruit in you. Okay? Your forehead. Okay? So it's showing you that the Muslim, the believer, he doesn't go and jump for an easy dollar. You're concerned about halal dollar, and in general, to get a halal dollar, you have to sweat for it. Okay? So you continue until almost your death, sweating. Try to get the halal dollar. There is other meaning that the believer, he dies with the sweat of his forehead, that means as a result of the tension or the things that's happening to his veins and the inside as a result of the hardship of the soul departing the body. So he's going to be sweating, and this is going to be like a sign of what is he's going through, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to remove all the things from him before he dies, because when he dies, he goes immediately to Baradai. So he be facing this hardship of the deportation of the soul. As a result of this, you will see the sweat in his forehead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this, and the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 428, reported by Abu Sa'id and Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with both of them. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلا الله لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلا الله. Hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim, Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Al-Nisa'i, and Al-Bayhaqi. The hadith is authentic. The hadith reported by Abu Sa'id as well as Abu Hurairah. Both of them, may Allah be pleased with him. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that we should remind or pain before those people who are about to pass away the word of La ilaha illallah. And the scholars explained this, okay, that the person will sit closer to the person who is about to die, or you assume that he's about dying, okay, by seeing different signs in his face and things like this. And you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu an Muhammadur Rasulullah, to let him hear it. The possibility that he will say it after you, or he will remember and he will say it, that that will be the last of his saying. Because if you depart from this life, and this your last saying, or the last thing that you utter in this life, that you will go to Baradai. And this shows us the greatness of this word. And regardless of this person who is about to die, Muslim or non-Muslim, that we should, that we should mention this word before him. You never know. Okay? The other one. Hadith which reported by Ni'qal ibn Yasar, and the hadith is weak, and we're going to leave it alone. And although this hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i and Ibn Hibban, but the hadith is weak concerning recitation of the Quran, especially Surah Yaseen, before the person he died and things like this. It has no, the hadith is weak. Next hadith, which is hadith number 430, page 187, وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أبي سلمة وقد شق بصره فأغمضه ثم قال إن الروح إذا قبض أتبعه البصر أو اتبعه البصر. فضج ناس من أهله فقال لا تدعوا على أنفسكم إلا بخير فإن الملائكة تؤمن على ما تقولون. ثم قال اللهم اغفر لأبي سلمة وارفع درجته في المهديين وافتح له في قبره ونور له فيه واخلفه في عقبه. رواه مسلم عند حديث الأوثنتيك. This hadith that reported by Umm Salama that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the house of Abu Salama when he passed away and his eyes were fixed on Urban. Fixed me Urban. That means remain Urban. Okay? After he already passed away.
In Arabic?
وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أبي سلمة وقد شق بصره فأغمضه.
يعني بعد ما مات لزال البصر مفتوح عينه. ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he closed it.
So Abu Salama he passed away and his eyes are still open. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم he closed his eyes. And he told him and he said, when the soul is taken away out of the body, the sight follows it. Okay? The sight will follow it like watching. Okay? So it is the proper way that when you see the person, his eyes are still open, that you try to shove him. So upon this, the family of Abu Salama, now they recognized and understood that he already passed away, they became like disturbed. And they became like wailing and noise. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he admonished him and he said to him, don't call or don't pray against yourself. Okay? Don't say anything against yourself. Only say something which is good. Because the angels of Allah, they are present in this occasion. And whatever that you say, they're going to confirm it. As saying Ameen. So this a moment of exercising your self-endurance and patience, sabr, okay? That you shouldn't do anything which is displeasing to Allah. And some people when they get faced by this thing, they start wailing and weeping and saying something bad. So whatever that you're saying, like I understand, the angel would say Ameen. So if you call him, you're making dua against yourself, there is a big possibility that will be answered because the angel is confirming whatever you say. Okay? So if you say anything in this moment, you have to be watching and you only say what is good, which is pleasing to Allah, and the angels will be present and confirming whatever you say. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for Abu Salama and said, Allahumma aghfir li Abi Salama. O Allah, forgive Abu Salama. Raise his degree among this guided one, the one that guides him, okay? Raise his degree, make him among in the ranks of the Mahdiyin, the ones that he guided him. And make his grave wide for him. And make it light. And also give him a better in his family. Grant him life in the grave. Okay, and وَخْلِفُ فِي عَقْدِهِ that he, the guardian in his family after his death by blessing the family, protecting them, being overlooking over them. Okay, so we learn from this hadith that we shouldn't be weaning. Sadness and fear, crying is acceptable. but not to do things which is displeasing to Allah, like people hitting their faces, or tearing their clothing, or saying something which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we learn from this that Islam ba'da mawtihi, rawahu al-Bukhari. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, reported by Aisha, daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, as well as the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, he had kissed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his death. Okay? And this shows us that the love and the respect that the Sahaba had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his life as well after his death. Also, the hadith shows you the permissibility of kissing the dead person whom permissible to kiss while he's alive. Okay? As example, your mother, your sister, your father, your son, okay? But you don't, or a husband to a wife, or a wife to a husband, but you don't kiss any person that you are not supposed to kiss while you were alive. Okay? Is this understood? So this shows us that the sunnah that we cover the person, and also the sunnah that it is permissible to kiss the person. This shows also the permissibility of kissing, of exposing the face of the dead person while before you bought the shroud in it, okay? Because he was covered, and Abu Bakr Siddiq came and moved the cover, and he kissed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith number 433, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: نفس المؤمن معلقة بدينه حتى يقضى عنه. رواه أحمد والترمذي. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad and the Tirmidhi. The hadith is Hasan, is good, and the hadith reported by Abu Hurairah. That the soul of the believer is hanged between the earth and the heaven, okay, until as a result of what he owes the people from money. That means this soul could not enjoy the blessings and the reward, okay, until this debt, the debt that the money that he borrowed from the people to be paid, regardless paid from his inheritance or somebody in his behalf, relatives or non-relatives, they will go, come forward and pay this money. So as long the person, and this is hadith, it shows us the seriousness of dilating paying our debt, and the importance that we facing by paying what we owe the people. And if there is no necessity of borrowing this money, that you shouldn't borrow. This is something very important. Number one, because it's humiliation to you. You shouldn't go ask the people. And if you have to ask, ask because there is a necessity. Okay? Not because you like to buy this and you sell this thing since the more you like it. And no, but there is a necessity. And if you borrow money out of necessity, that you should be concerned about it, and that you have to try your best to hurry up and pay it. Otherwise, this will be like an obstacle for your soul to enjoy the honor and the reward and the blessing because you owe this money. Next hadith, which is hadith number 434, reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: الذي سقط عن راحلته فمات اغسلوه بماء وسدر وكفنوه في ثوبين. متفق عليه. This hadith is relating to us concerning the watching of the dead person. And this person had fallen down from his camel or his horse, okay? And as a result of this, he passed away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wash him with water and lotus leaves, okay? And wrap him in his two garments. So from this hadith, we understand that Rafiq, أنت تعرف صدر النبأ النبأ كده زي تفاح صغير حركة I think they call it lotus or something like this. We take the leaves. Anybody know what is lotus? Okay, I have some in my bag. I'm taking it with me to Jersey from next week. We're going to have a janaza workshop. Anybody want to see it? But they don't have it in leaves. It's the leaves of trees, okay? And they take this leaves and they use it and almost like a soap, okay? It will help to clean anything in your body, okay? Sidr, okay? Yeah. So, done? Okay. Yes. Exactly. We tried to get it, but we did not find it in this form of leaves, but we take it and we put it now in a form of soap. I have a bar of soap I can show to you after the class if you want. Now the camphor is something different now, okay? So Rasulullah said, wash him with water and sugar, okay? And if you don't have sugar, you can use any substance which will remove any dirt on the person's body, okay? This is one way. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said also what? That wrapped him in his two garments. And this also shows us the permissibility of wrapping the dead person in less than three garments. Okay? And that he can be also wrapped in his clothes that he was wearing. Okay? This hadith was in page 189, hadith number 435, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت لما أرادوا غسل رسول النبي غسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالوا والله ما ندري نجرد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما نجرد موتانا أم لا. الحديث This hadith which in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Sunan Imam Ahmad and Sunan Abu Dawood. The hadith is Hasan according to Shaykh al-Albani, Hafizahullah. And this happened when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And the Sahaba, they got confused and they were so worried what they should do. So they remove the clothes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, similar to what they do to the other dead people, what they do. From this hadith we understand that the person, the dead person is supposed to remove all his clothes, but he has to cover his private parts. Understand, you remove all the clothes that he has, and for sure you have to cover his private parts, and that For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not remove his clothes. He washed him with the thobe or the qameez that he was wearing. The people, when they intended to wash the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, by Allah, we don't know whether we should take off the clothes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as we take off the clothes of our dead. Okay? Hadith number, and the hadith is Hasan, as I said, the hadith is good. Hadith number 436, وعن أم عطية رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت, دخل علينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نغسل ابنته, فقال اغسلناها ثلاثة أو خمسة أو أكثر من ذلك, فإن رأيتن ذلك بماء وسدر, وجعلنا في الأخيرة كافورا أو شيئا من كافور, فلما فرغنا آذناه فألقى إلينا حقوة حقوة فقال أشعرناها إياه، متفق عليه. ففي رواية ابدأنا بميامينها ومواضع الوضوء منها، وفي لفظ البخاري فذكرنا شعرها ثلاثة قرون فألقيناها خلفها. This حديث reported by أم عطية. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Bukhari, the hadith is authentic. And here she mentioned about that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came while we washing his daughter. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, wash her 3 times or 5 times or more than this if you see is needed. Okay? So, you wash the good person add number, okay? And if there is something like blood or any dirty or impurity in the body, it didn't remove by 3 times, you can wash him 5 or 7 or 9, okay? So you increase the numbers of washing as a result of accordingly, okay, to whatever on the body. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you see that is, there is a necessity to make it more than 5. And use water and sugar, okay? Which we just spoke about. Listen. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي الْأَخِيرَةِ كَافُورًا كَافُرًا, okay? And the last one, got what? كَافُور in it. Or little bit of كَافُور. كَافُرًا, okay? I have also another bottle in my bag, inshallah, if anybody wants to smell it to know what it is, I can show it to you. After we finish, we inform him, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in the house. He was not standing there watching, okay? So when they finish, we inform him that we finish. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave them his lower garment, like you say, your t-shirt or something that you wear it under, okay? And he said, put this next to the, to her body. Okay? And this also shows you the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his family. And he given her something like, something had touched his body to be with her. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another narration, he said, that start with the right part. Okay? In the watching, it starts with the right side. Right hand, right foot, all the things. Okay? And another narration he said that we had braided her hair 3 braids. Okay? So this is also telling us about the washing of the dead body, that the permissibility of increasing the numbers of washing more than 3 and 5, if there is necessity, that also putting saffron, which has not been mentioned in the other hadith, to use it in the last washing. And also for the woman to be braided her hair if she has the long hair. Hadith number 437, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كفن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في 3 أثواب ديب سحولية من كرسف ليس فيها قميص ولا عمامة. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. So the hadith is authentic. The hadith is reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and it's telling us about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he been read. Okay, the tefan. This is what we call the tefan. Or the shrouding. That the Rasulullah has been shrouded in 3 garments. And when we say garments, does not mean what we wear. Okay? That means 3 pieces of cloth or towel, okay, or sheet, okay. The kufn of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi 3 athwab bayd, and the color of it is what? White. And made out of cotton, kurtun, made out of cotton. And laysa fiha qamis wala imam. No qamis, no turban. Qamis, which is similar to what I'm wearing or what you're wearing, okay, what you call it today, soap, okay? This is qamis. So that means you don't dress the dead body qamis neither you dress in turban, which is the regular clothes that people walk with it in the street, okay? But your rabbi shrouded him in white sheet, and preferably that made out of cotton, and the hadith is authentic. Next hadith, page 190, hadith number 438. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لما توفي عبد الله ابن أبي جاء ابنه إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أعطني قميصا فأكفنه فيه فأعطاه إياه متفق عليه. Okay. Abdullah, the narrator of this hadith, which Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, that reported that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu قال لما توفي عبد الله ابن أبي. Okay, and you know that Abdullah ibn Ubay, he is a Muslim, he's from the Sahaba, and there is a problem in the beginning of Islam with this man, and when he mentioned something bad about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his son was against him, okay? His son was against him because the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be dearer to us than our own family. And when he mentioned, uttered something bad about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that no one will enter the Medina, okay, because this and that, and the honorable one will go. So Abdullah, he stayed there by the city limit of Medina, and say, Rasulullah will enter first before my father. And my father wants to know who is the honorable one. Okay? So if you have any message against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now I'm going to be the first one stand in your place. So when his father passed away, okay, he passed away in Islam, okay? So his son, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked him to give him his shirt, for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give him his shirt, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, to use it as a kafan, as a shroud, in this life, as well as after our death. So he's saying, wear your white garment. Okay? And he said, siyab, and the thawb is known to be, okay, so there is encouragement in this hadith that for us to wear the thawb, okay? And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specialized the white color, the white thawb, okay? And he said, because it's from the best of your garment, the thawb and the white one is the out of the best of your garment, and do what? And shroud your dead body in it. And use it also as a kafan for the dead one among the Muslims. Hadith, and the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 430. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كفن أحدكم أخاه فليحسن كفنه. رواه مسلم. Hadith reported by جابر رضي الله عنه. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. The Prophet ﷺ telling us that when one of us shrouds his brother, does not mean your brother, mean from your mother and your brother in Islam, okay, he should use his good shroud and be good. That means have something enough sufficient to cover, okay, from head to toe. Don't bring something short, don't bring something dirty, don't say, okay, that he's your brother, and you should shroud him in a better fashion and better way to be from the ihsan and the good treatment to your Muslim brother that gives him something good. But this does not mean for you to go and get the extreme and buy something which is very expensive, okay? Yeah. And the last hadith for now, inshallah, so we can give a chance for the salah, for those people who rush. Hadith number 441, in page 190. وعنه, that means Jabir also, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجمع بين الرجلين من قتل أحد في ثوب واحد ثم يقول أيهم أكثر أخذا للقرآن فيقدمه في اللحم ولن يغسلوا. ولم يصلى عليهم. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, the hadith is authentic, reported by Jabir that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used the shroud to people in, after the battle of Uhud, in two sheep, and he used to bury more than one in the grave, and he used to ask first before he buried him, which one have more Quran, which one more memorization. Okay, so even after your death, it's still Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about which one have more memorization of the Quran, to give him the advantage and give him the privilege to put him in the grave first. So this hadith shows us the permissibility of shrouding more than one, but this was what after the battle of Uhud. Okay, so with almost like necessity, and also the permissibility, like if there is not enough space, or that there is something happened to the Muslims, that you can also bury more than one Muslim in the same time. Also, this hadith is telling us that the martyr, the shuhada, the one who dies in the battlefield defending Islam and the Muslims, okay, not for any other foolish reason, that those people not to be washed, neither to be prayed on them, because their deed is sufficient enough blessings for them. They die as a martyr to Sabilillah. They don't need this salah, they don't need this washing, they don't need any of these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the best ending of this life, inshallah. And inshallah, we'll continue in the class after Salat al-Isha for those who would like to continue with us, inshallah. Next hadith, inshallah, which is in page 191, hadith number 442. Not too much commentary on this hadith because the hadith is weak. It is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, reported by Ali, and the degree of the hadith to be weak, so we leave it alone, inshallah. Hadith number 443, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لها, لو مت قبلي لغسلتك, لو مت قبلي لغسلتك. حديث رواه أحمد وابن ماجه. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Ibn Majah, and Ibn Hibban. The hadith reported by Aisha, and the hadith is hasan, is good. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his wife Aisha, if you die before me, I will wash you. Okay? And from this hadith, we see that the permissibility of the man washing his wife. Okay, the permissibility of the man washing his wife. And this also applies that also it is permissible for the woman to wash her husband. And that this does not revoke or doesn't violate the relationship between the husband and wife. Like some people say, if the man dies and transits it, or if the woman dies, this it. Okay? But and also shows the concern and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his wife Aisha, and how that he as a husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to make her feel good, okay, by showing her his consideration and his love to her even after his death, that he will take care of washing her body. Hadith number 444, وعن أسماء بنت عميس رضي الله تعالى عنها, أن فاطمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أوصت أن يغسلها علي رضي الله تعالى عنه, رواه الدارقطني. The hadith is حسن. Okay. Hadith reported by أسماء بنت عميس that فاطمة, she was the youngest among the daughters of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay. And she is the most important lady of this ummah. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu married here in Ramadan, second year of Hijrah, and wedded here in Dhul Hijjah. She was then 15 years old and 5 months old. She was then 15 years and 5 months old. She died in Ramadan, the 11th year of Hijjah, and after the death of her father. And Ali radiallahu anhu, her husband, he had carry out her will or her wishes, okay? Again, like I said, that her municipality of the husband watching the wife after he passed away, or the permissibility of the wife washing the husband, that is okay. Hadith number 445, وعن برايدة رضي الله تعالى عنه في قصة الغامدية التي أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برجمها في الزنا. قال: ثم أمر بها فصلي عليها ودفنت. That this woman that had committed adultery or illegal sex, okay, and as a result of this, the punishment is to be stoned to death. So this woman, after she got her punishment, and as a result of this, she died, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made janazah on her and she been killed. And this shows you that committing the sin does not turn the Muslim to a kafir. Okay? Committing a sin doesn't turn the Muslim to a kafir, except if the Muslim, he treated this sin to be lawful. There is nothing called, you understand, halal and haram, I do whatever I want, okay? But this woman, she did something wrong, she got the punishment, so this is forgiveness for her, and as a result of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed the obligation of a Muslim towards the other Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the janazah on her, and she was buried off. And this hadith is in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. Next hadith was the hadith number 446, وعن جابر بن سمرة بن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: أتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برجل قتل نفسه بمشقات فلم يصلي عليه. رواه مسلم. The hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic, reported by Jabir, concerning this man who had committed suicide. He had killed himself with a broad-headed arrow was brought before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So Rasulullah he didn't perform the janazah on him. And this doesn't mean that the man is a kafir. Okay? But here the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the head of the state, is the governor. Okay? So it shows his disapproval of what the man did. But this does not negate that somebody else will perform the salah on the person. Okay, so as example, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to ask when he bring somebody for him to perform a janazah on him, he will ask, does he own any debt? So if he owe any debt, he say you pay in him. Okay, this also to show you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't approve. Okay, that Muslim taking the property of the other Muslims and not returning. So this does not make the person to be a kafir, and we say the Prophet ﷺ didn't pray on him because of that reason. So this person, he had killed himself for whatever reason that he did it. Rasulullah ﷺ didn't perform the prayer on him. but it doesn't make him to be a kafir or to forbid that somebody else will perform the prayer over him. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 447, page 192, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه في قصة المرأة التي كانت تقوم المسجد قال فسأل عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا ماتت فقال أفلا كنتم آذنتموني فكأنهم صغروا أمرها فقال دلوني على قبرها فدلوه فصلى عليها متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith is authentic. This a woman, she used to sweep the masjid. She used to clean the masjid. She took in charge of this position to clean the masjid. And when this woman, she passed away, it seemed like it was like late night. And the Sahaba, they decide not to disturb the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his sleep or during time of prophecy. So they went and they took care of the janazah and the funeral and they fulfilled the obligation towards her. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he missed the woman. He didn't see her. So he asked, where is this woman? She used to do the cleaning of the masjid. So, O Prophet of Allah, she passed away. He said, how come you didn't tell me? Okay. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, where is the grave? Where is her grave? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to the grave of the woman and performed prayer on her. Okay. And this shows you also that how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about the followers of the members of his community. And regardless whatever a person doing, he still has a contribution to the community. And how honorable work that she was doing, cleaning the masjid. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made a special trip to her grave to perform the prayer, because the prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a special reward and a cause of mercy and forgiveness for the dead people. And also shows you the permissibility of praying on the person even after they die on the grave if you did not have performed the prayer on it. Okay? And this also shows that it is something that is still, like you say, recently, you're going to go after 2-3 years, you understand, and you go to make the salah. وزاد مسلم ثم قال إن هذه القبور مملوءة ظلمة على أهلها وأن الله ينورها لهم بصلاة عليهم. And also the other narration which is the collection of Imam Muslim, which is authentic, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us why he went and made salah on the grave and said that these graves are full with darknesses for its dwellers. The people who's inside, okay, this grave is full of darknesses upon those people who are inside. And Allah will enlighten or will lighten that grave as a result of my prayer. Okay, so this is the reason that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went and made the salah on the grave. Hadith number 448, page 193, وعن حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان ينهى عن النعي رواه أحمد النعي رواه أحمد والترمذي وحسنه. This hadith is the collection of Imam Ahmad and al-Tirmidhi and in Musnad Abu Shaybah. And the degree of the hadith is Hasan. And that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had forbid na'i. The na'i is a special form of announcement for the dead person. Okay? That like people, they go in a horse with a horn as a gamble, and they be walking, they go stop by all the stores, all shops, markets, so-and-so die, okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbade this kind of informing others about the death of somebody. Okay? And one of the forms that we see it nowadays, they put it in the newspaper and put it in the bulletin board and things like this and in the radio and the TV, okay? The permissibility will be for relatives or righteous people as examples that he expecting them to come to perform a prayer over this person. Or the relatives, they understand, to come, and if they have any rights in the inheritance or whatever it is, to be informed, okay? But some people, they do it out of for fame, okay? And to be became, you understand, like some form of honoring the dead person, okay? That everybody should have to know that so-and-so had passed away, okay? وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعى النجاشي في اليوم الذي مات فيه okay. وخرج بهم إلى المصلى فصفى بهم وكبر عليه أربعا. This hadith in the collection of Imam Bukhari and Muslim, authentic, reported by Abu Huraira that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had informed his community concerning the death of a Najashi, okay, the king of Abyssinia, because he had took shahada, okay, and you remember that this man who had protected the Muslims when they went for the first migration, okay, so when he passed away, the Prophet ﷺ, he informed the Sahaba, and they went the next day. That he announced to them, he informed them in the same day that Najashi had died away. This is also from how that the Rasulullah would know, and this man lives all the way down there by Sudan, and the Prophet lives in Medina. Okay? There's no any fast machines or any computers or anything like this. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him, and he informed his Sahaba immediately in the same day. And since this country is Christian country, and the Prophet ﷺ, he understood that nobody had performed the janaza prayer on him, so he took the Sahaba and went to the Musalla. And the Musalla is a special place which is they perform the Eid, or they make the janaza prayer on it, okay? So he took the Sahaba and he went out, and he made lines, and he made four takbir for Salat to janaza, okay? This what they call it Salat al-Ghaib, the absent prayer, okay? If somebody dies someplace, and in this country, that you get to know that nobody made the janazah prayer on him, that you can make it in your locality, bring the Muslims together, and you perform it, okay? But if the person passed away in Islamic country, or that in a country which is Muslim there, and you know that we already performed the janazah, there is no need for repeating the janazah again. Okay? This is one thing. Also, we understand from this hadith that the takbir during the salah for janazah is four. Also, we understand from this hadith that there is a musalla to go outside to pray on the janazah. It does not have to be in the mosque. Okay? You can perform the janazah prayer out of the mosque. Also, you understand from this hadith that the Muslim day will stand in ranks for salat al-janazah. Okay? And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 450, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما من رجل مسلم يموت فيقوم على جنازته أربعون رجلا لا يشركون بالله شيئا إلا شفعهم الله فيه. رواه مسلم. The hadith number 450, page 195, in the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic.
reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that he said, I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying what the meaning is, if any Muslim dies and 40 believers or 40 men, they stand on his janazah for performing the prayer, and those people, among those people who did not associate any partner beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their intercession. Okay? For the dead person, that they will appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of the judgment, and you'll be witness to this man, and Allah will accept this. And as we understand, the shafa'a and the intercession could not be done to anybody except by the permission of Allah. And the person who gives the shafa'a and the person who receives the shafa'a, both of them have to be eligible for this. As example, you did not make shafa'a for a kafir. A sinner does not make a shafa'a for somebody else. You have to be in a good degree, a good Muslim, okay, for you to be able to make shafa'a for somebody. And number two, that Allah will permit. Number three, the person deserves this, that he is one of the people that can receive it, that he is a believer, that he is a Muslim. Okay? So this also teaches us that we should increase our number on the janazah prayer. Okay? And the hadith make it to be what? 40. If we can have at least 40. And that we call for our janazah prayer the best among the us in righteousness and good deeds. Okay? And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 461, and this hadith reported by Samura bin Jundub رضي الله تعالى عنه قال صليت وراء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على امرأة ماتت في نفاسها فقام وسطها. متفق عليه. This will show you that salah janazah will be performed on the female as well as the male. Okay? That will perform the janazah prayer on our dead, regardless if they are men or women. This woman, she passed away while she was given birth. Okay? And also it shows you that the standing position of the imam, the standing position, where the imam will stand, he will stand behind the janazah. And the position will be in the middle part of the body, if a woman, and in another hadith, you will know where to stand if it's a man. He will stand under somebody's head. Okay? The hadith is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. Hadith number 452, page 194. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت والله لقد صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على ابن بيضاء في المسجد. Okay. That hadith reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. And Aisha is telling us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made salah on the two tongues of al-Bayda inside the mosque. Okay? So this doesn't negate the other hadith, but it shows you the permissibility that you can make the janazah prayer inside the mosque. This is hadith number 453, وعن عبد الرحمن ابن أبي ليلى قال كان زيد ابن أرقم يكبر على جنائزنا أربعة وأنه كبر على جنازة خمسة فسألته فقال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكبرها. رواه مسلم والأربعة. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim and reported by عبد الرحمن ابن أبي ليلى. The hadith is authentic that Zayd ibn Arqam, may Allah be pleased with him, he used to make takbir four times on the janazah prayer. And one time he made five takbira. Okay? And I asked him, that mean Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla, he asked him, questioned him, why he didn't make five takbira
he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to do it. Okay? So, this hadith shows us that permissibility of making more than four takbirah, and in this hadith specifically came to make it what? Five takbirah in the salah. Hadith number 454. وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه كبر على سهم ابن حنيف ستة وقال إنه بدري رواه سعيد بن منصور وأصله في البخاري. The hadith is authentic, reported by Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, that this hadith وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه كبر. Okay. I'm sorry, I see the prophet, this is with mistake. That Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, he made four, he prayed the janazah prayer on Sahl ibn Hunayf. And he, when he made the salah, he made six takbirah. Okay? This is the action of this sahabi, and he did not utter it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is authentic. And when he been questioned about it, he said that innahu badri. Okay? That means he was among the people who attended the battle of Badr. So like in virtues, like a higher rank among the Sahaba. Okay? Because he's the one, and you know that Ghazwat Badr was considered the first battle for the Muslims to get involved, and this was one of them. So, like you understand, he like more blessings and more privilege to him that he made 60 takbira. Hadith number 455, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكبر على جنائزنا أربعة ويقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب في التكبيرة الأولى. Okay. This hadith is رواه الشافعي بإسناد ضعيف. So it's weak narration. We're going to leave it alone. Next hadith, which is hadith number 456, reported from طلحة ابن عبد الله ابن عوف قال صليت خلف ابن عباس على جنازة فقرأ فاتحة الكتاب فقال لتعلموا أنها سنة. رواه البخاري. طلحة من الله بيبليجوز هم son of Abdullah ibn Auf, he say, I pray on janaza, and the imam was Abbas, was Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he recited Fatihah al-Kitab, and he said, for you to know that it is Sunnah. Okay, this narration in al-Bukhari. To recite Fatihah al-Kitab in the janaza prayer. Hadith number 437, وعن عوف بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على جنازة فحفظت من دعائه اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وعافه واعف عنه وأكرم نزله ووسع مدخله واغسله بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقه من الخطايا كما نقيت الثوب الأبيض من الدنس وأبدله دارا خيرا من داره وأهلا خيرا من أهله وأدخله الجنة وقه فتنة القبر وعذاب النار. عوف بن مالك may Allah be pleased with him, he said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم performed the janazah prayer. And I had memorized from his publication, that means during the salah, this dua, which Allahumma khillah, O Allah forgive him, O Allah be mercy towards him, O Allah pardon him, O Allah grant him a noble provision, and make his entrance, his place, okay, spacious. Wash him with water and ice and snow.
remove all self, means sin, from him. The same way that somebody will wash the white soap and clean it from all dirty things. Oh Allah, give him a better house than his house, and a better family than the family that he departed from. And oh Allah, made him enter paradise and protect him from the trial of the grave and the punishment of hellfire. Okay? So from this we see the sunnah, the dua for the dead person during the salah. Okay? And also that you be sincere in your prayer and be concerning about the forgiveness of Allah for him and the blessing. This hadith also is telling us about the reality of Jannah, and also telling us about the trial of the grave and the reality of hellfire, that we're supposed to believe in them is part of al-Iman. Hadith number 458, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى على جنازة يقول اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا، اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام، ومن توفيته منا فتوفاه على الإيمان، اللهم لا تحرمنا أجره ولا تفتنا بعده. Hadith is authentic. Reported by Abu Huraira that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to make prayer on the janazah, he used to say, this is another version, okay? There is more than one narration what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say. And in this hadith, he found that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam includes the living one, not only the dead person, okay? Oh Allah forgive those who are alive among us, and those who are dead. Oh Allah, forgive the one who are witness in this janazah prayer, and those who are not here, their actions. Oh Allah, forgive the young among us and the old among us, the male and the female. Okay? Oh Allah, whosoever of us you give him life, give him life with faith. And whosoever that you keep him alive among us, keep him alive with Islam. Because being living without Islam, this is better. You see, this is something very important. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fahyih ala Islam. Not only being living and having a job, going to school and this is, no. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fahyih ala Islam. Oh Allah, who is the one that you extend his life among us for more time, make him alive as a Muslim. Not only alive, because it's very serious. If you be alive but you are not doing the right thing, this will be better. Right? Yeah. وَمَنْ تَوَفَّيْتَهُ مِنَّا, and those that you put them dead among us, that cause them to die in a state of faith. Because if you die in other state, it will be something very serious. اللهم لا تحرمنا أجره ولا تفتنا بعده. Oh Allah, don't withhold from us the reward of your deed because of him. Okay? Or try us after his death. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was calling for the reward, and also that we don't go in a trial after this person. Okay? Because as we understand, this life, as long as the person still alive, he's exposed to the fitness, trial by different means and different ways, God, women, positions, all the things which you can cause the cause of deviation from As-Sirat al-Mustaqim. Inshallah, we still have more hadith, but I'm going to read it since we have a few minutes left. Maybe I will say this hadith slowly, that maybe somebody will use the tape later on to memorize it. Would be a good idea if you wrote it in phonetics here, but inshallah for those who can read it in Arabic, you should try to learn this beautiful hadith and this beautiful dua. Allahumma, Allahumma ghfir lihajjina wa mayyitina wa shahidina وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم لا تحرمنا أجره ولا تفتنا بعده. The hadith is authentic and reported by Imam Muslim. One time more. Allahumma ghfir li hajjina wa mayyitana wa shahidana wa ghaidana wa saghirana wa kabirana wa zakarina wa unsana. Allahumma من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم لا تحرمنا أجره ولا تفتنا بعده الله مزدك. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We're going to have part two concerning this subject, okay? But inshallah we'll finish it this Tuesday coming. We'll have more hadith concerning the janazah. And great possibility that may add other information from other books. So when we start the new class, we start it in that is the case. The last thing that I would like to question you concerning the time for class, and especially for the brothers who come from Augusta, if they're planning to continue the class, if it's 7:45 will be reasonable to you or will be too late to you. That means we'll be finishing the class like 9:15, 9:30 the maximum.